Welcome, welcome everyone to the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast. I am Julie Anderson, aka Brain Lady Julie, here as your host. And I am so excited today for our guest because I want to hear what she has to say. She's got some great tips and wisdom that she's going to be sharing with us. So we have on our show today, Nikki Rausch. Nikki, welcome to the Women Excelling Everywhere show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, very neat. Very neat. As I was looking over all your information, I'm so intrigued. And I know you'll bring benefit to our listeners because this is going to be business focused on this particular call and sales focused, that word that so many entrepreneurs kind of push back and shy away from. So looking forward to the wisdom. But from a professional point of view, let me just give the audience a snippet of who Nikki is. Nikki is the CEO of Sales Maven. She has a unique ability to transform the misunderstood process of selling. I like that, transform it. With 25 plus years of selling experience, entrepreneurs and small business owners now hire Nikki to show them how to sell successfully and authentically. So important. Nikki has written 3 books, all available on Amazon, and she has a podcast called Sales Maven, which you can find on your favorite podcast platform. Nikki, once again, welcome to the We podcast.
Thank you.
All right. So I always like asking my guests, we want to get to know Nikki a little bit more. So we kind of heard that, you know, you've been doing this for 25 plus years, you're in sales, but what led you to want to build your business around teaching or demystifying or the sales process? Like, what brought you to this point in your career?
Well, it was 10 plus years ago. I was helping to build somebody else's business at the time. And it was the first time in my career where I started networking with women. I come from a very male dominated industry. That's been my background and my sales for most of my professional career. And when I started hanging out with women entrepreneurs, I was just so really honestly in awe of them, because women entrepreneurs are so passionate and they're experts at whatever it is that they're doing. They want to make an impact in the world. They want to serve. And I was just really inspired by it. And so I just wanted to spend as much time as possible while I was helping to kind of grow somebody else's business. I wanted to spend as much time as possible with these women. And as I was getting to know them, I was finding that a lot of them were really struggling with the sales conversation. And I had such an extensive background in sales that sales at that point to me felt fairly simple from a conversational standpoint. I was known for building really strong relationships that resulted in multi-million dollar deals. And so I just honestly started helping some of them on the side, just wanting to offer advice when they were open to it and give them suggestions and teach them some little, you know, simple concepts. And one of them pulled me aside one day and she was like, "The stuff that you're doing and teaching me, it's working so well. Like, why aren't you offering this to other people?" And my initial response was, "Well, that seems dumb. I don't think people would pay me to learn this." And she's like, "No, people will pay you, Nikki. Because what you teach, it works. It's easy to do." And really my business was born out of, oh, well, if it will help, I'm willing to test the waters, like dip my toe in the water. And it turns out that I have honestly the greatest gig in the whole world. I love my work. I love the women that I get to work with. And I love the concept of taking the kind of ick and the uncomfortableness out of a sales conversation and showing people how you can do it in a genuine, collaborative way that feels not only good to you, but also to the prospect that you're working with.
That's awesome, because you're right. And I've worked with women entrepreneurs for many, many years. And one of the things that sales is always that thing they don't want to do. And they may know that their message or their product or their service has high value. It's not that they doubt the value or what they bring. It's they just have that difficulty opening that door and not feeling icky, not feeling like, you know, this just feels slimy for some reason.
Yeah.
And I know for myself, my background, I've mentioned on the show before, so some of the listeners know, is my dad was a used car dealer. in the 70s and 80s. So I mean, it's like you picture icky, right? You know, that's kind of the impression you get. So breaking out of that visual that you have, and we use the term, or this particular, the title of this particular pod is called Overcome Your Fear of Sales with the Selling Staircase. So I'm curious how that's going to evolve as we talk, but we all know we need to be positive. We all need to twist that positive part on our messaging. How does that play into establishing a really good connection from the first handshake, from the very get-go, from the hello, my name is? What's the importance of that? And I'm assuming that's that first step on the staircase.
Yeah, so the selling staircase is my signature framework for an effective sales conversation. So it has those five steps. I teach it as a staircase because most of us understand the concept that you don't stand at the bottom of a staircase and hop up to the top. You go one step at a time. And that's how to have an effective sales conversation, is to understand what step are we on right now, and what's the logical next step to move this client or guide this client or prospect to. So the idea behind it, first and foremost, I think to maybe reframe that impression, because we've all been on the receiving end of sales done really poorly and where it has that ick factor. So the way to transform that is to start to reframe how you think about selling. And sales, the way that I teach sales, is it's not something that you do to another person, because when you're doing something to another person, that feels manipulative and that feels uncomfortable, frankly. But sales actually is something you do with another person. And that's where the collaboration piece comes in. So the first step in the selling staircase is to make a positive first impression. So the foundation of everything I teach is built on rapport. And if you don't have rapport in place, it's really hard to move somebody through that conversation and have it feel genuine and have it feel good to both parties. So we need to make a powerful first impression in the first few seconds, minutes of connecting with somebody. And that could be connecting with them online, or that could be connecting with them in person, or through your website, or through some other form of marketing that you're doing. But can you make a positive first impression? And a lot of times, entrepreneurs, business owners, sometimes they don't even think, like, how am I coming across? And when you take a step back and go, am I making a powerful first impression? Am I making the impression that I want to leave people with? Because whether or not you like this, what I'm about to say, it's just a fact, is that people are making judgments about you. And we want to do everything we can to set those up to be positive judgments.
I like that. And I like that you put that we're not just talking about a face-to-face impression, but also a website impression. Or, and that's because when you said we've all had those ick moments with the sale, I tell you, every single day I open up my LinkedIn and there's five messages from first time I ever met somebody. Hi, Julie, I'd like to connect with you. Hey, do you need this? Blah, 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 blah. Well, go here. I'd like to. You're like, it's just, oh, it's so negative. So that's a, what's one of the ways that you can make a positive impression? Like, what, how do you make it? Like, let's just take one of those. I'm throwing you a little bit of a curveball in our
Well,
conversation.
bring it on. I love it. I love it.
But because I literally just experienced this, you know, a half hour ago when I was doing, opened up LinkedIn, and one of the, you know, there's a message in there and it's just instant sales. A new person that reached out to me, and it is just instant sales. So how could they have made a positive impression on me to make me go, huh, maybe I do want to continue a conversation with them. Maybe I am a little curious about what they do, because that first impression was so negative.
And we all get those, right? Like I probably block, I'm not even joking, 10 people a day in my email, because it's just garbage. It's just word vomiting all over me in my email, and I'm not interested in that. So one of the ways to make a positive first impression, specifically in those first touch points, is to talk about the person that you're connecting with. So it can't be like, hey, Julie, I'm Nikki Roush. I'm the sales maven. I help people, blah, 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 because that's all about me. Who cares? You don't care about me yet. You don't know me. But if I reached out to you and said, Julie, I listened to your podcast and this particular episode, and you spoke about your dad and the fact that he had this business, I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing. That might catch your attention right away
Sure.
because I'm speaking to something that means something to you. And then the next thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to start selling to you. I'm going to ask permission. I'm going to say, you know, one of the things that I work with women who are interested in up leveling their sales skills. Is that something you would ever be open to having a conversation about? I have to ask you a question. I need your permission before I sell to you. So if I ask you that question and you go, hey, thanks for listening, but no thanks, I'm not interested. Okay. But if I do it and start it in a way that shows that I am interested in you as a person, I know something about you, and I'm willing to compliment you about it, that's authentic, a true compliment, and then I'm willing to ask you a question, you might be more inclined to say, maybe I'll, let's see.
Sure. That makes so much more sense. Yes. If anybody listening, if somebody said that they actually listened and quoted something or said something about what was on the podcast, that would definitely, you know, if anything, it would make me go, okay, I'm not going to block them.
Right. Because you're like, oh, they actually have invested some time and energy in something that is important to me.
Yeah, that's a very good tip of advice, or a very good piece of advice for everyone. Now, one of the things that you explain, there's a, you say, what is the difference? You talk about a difference between using cat calling or dog calling technique to create curiosity, because sometimes that kind of has a negative feeling to me, but you say you can, there's a difference between the two and how it generates curiosity versus the ick factor.
So curiosity is the second step in the selling staircase. So we talked about first impression. So that's the introduction step, step one. Step two is creating curiosity. And most people, if you ask them, do you know how to create curiosity when you're talking about your products or services, they get their eyes go big and they're like, I don't know what you mean. It's the most misstep. So most people don't think about, do I know how to create curiosity? But frankly, if you don't know how to create curiosity, it's pretty hard to continue on the conversation. So I do teach it as the difference between how you call a dog and how you call a cat, which I know sounds a little kooky. So stick with me here for just a second, and then you can tell me whether or not it makes sense. So when you think about somebody that wants to get their dog's attention, they change their demeanor oftentimes. They do this thing where they go, oh, come here, boy, come here, right? And dogs respond to that kind of that like high pitch, that super excited, like, oh my gosh. And you use a lot of words a lot of times when you call a dog. And dogs, you know, they'll come. They don't even know what's going on, but they'll come to you because they're like, something's gonna happen. Could be a treat, could be a walk, could be a ride in the car, could just be a pet on, you know, a pat on the belly, but something's gonna happen. But people are not like that. So when you show up in a sales conversation or in any conversation and you're like, oh my gosh, Julie, I'm so excited to talk to you. I looked at your website and here's what I thought about it, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm in this dog calling energy. You'll probably push away because you'll be like, oh, coming on too strong. That's too much. It often results in word vomiting, frankly. And a lot of people do it in an email, a lot of people do it in live conversation. So the flip side of this is think about how you call a dog or how you call a cat. If you want to get a cat's attention, you would never call it like you would call a dog. You would change up your demeanor and you would do a little bit of like, here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty, kitty. And a lot of times cats won't even come to that. They'll be like, what? They'll give you a look like, what? What do you want?
Unless they hear the can opener opening their food.
Yes, that's different, right? Like we all come for food. So here's the thing. When you want to get somebody's attention and you want to create curiosity, you have to have what I call here, kitty, kitty statements. There's something that intrigues the person enough to go, what does that mean? Or tell me more about that. Or, oh, I've never heard that before. You've got to get them leaning in and wanting to ask a question. So the way that you can start to do this, there's many ways, and I have a whole training just on creating curiosity because it's such a big part of building business, especially for business development. So just one way to do it is think about how you answer questions. Do you answer questions that make people go like, that's intriguing. Tell me more about that. Or do you answer questions and the other person looks at you and goes, oh, sorry, I asked. Right. So again, dog calling is the word vomiting, leaving people going like, ugh, sorry, I asked. So here's just one example. If I were to ask you a very basic question, which is probably a question you've already been asked, maybe today, but definitely this week, is how are you? Would you have an answer for me that would potentially spark curiosity that would allow for us to get into a conversation? And I want you to have here, kitty, kitty responses to the question, how are you, that potentially open the door to talk about your podcast or talk about your business or talk about whatever it is for you to start to identify, am I actually talking to a prospect? Or am I just talking to somebody it's nice to have a conversation with? Or am I talking to somebody that I want to bless and release and get out of the conversation quickly? So right now, if somebody said, how are you? For instance, if somebody asked me, how are you, Nikki? I might say like, oh, I'm great. I'm working on a new 3-day challenge. Now, does that spark curiosity? Maybe. Some people might go, who cares? I don't care anything about that.
Right.
I just want to talk about Super Bowl, or I just want to talk about, like they might change the topic. But other people might go, what do you mean a 3-day challenge? Who's that for? What's it about? Now it gives me permission to talk a little bit about something that is in something that's relevant to my business right now. And the answer could be anything. It could be like, ooh, I just got off a call with a client and they had some really amazing results. Could be that. It could be like, oh my gosh, I'm super excited. Our podcast just hit a new benchmark, right? It could be anything, but it's something that the person goes, oh, you have a podcast? Oh, what kind of clients do you work with? Oh, you've got this challenge coming. It's something that we can then actually start to have a real conversation. And then what happens when you do create curiosity, prospective clients often then will start to give you buying signals. Now, I wrote a whole book just about buying signals. Buying signals, if you're not familiar with them, are verbal and nonverbal cues that people give that indicate interest. And when you get a buying signal, you have to know how to recognize it and act on it. So typically, if I were to say something about the 3-day challenge, and maybe you were like, what's the 3-day challenge, Nikki? And I tell you a little bit about it, and you go, gosh, that sounds like something I'd like to participate in. Or you go, oh, I wonder if that's something that my business would benefit from. Now that opens the door. That's a potential buying signal for me to say, well, is it something you'd like to learn more about? Or is it something you'd like to sign up for? I'm going to issue that next step invitation for you when I do that.
Got it. I like that. I like it because so often we don't necessarily we prepare, especially in like networking type of a situation, we prepare that introduction, the polished introduction of who we are and what we do, and we try to get it all in the 30 to 60 seconds. But just when somebody just starting with just a how are you, putting a hook or a curiosity there, that's a very cool technique. And it shows you what they're, whether or not you pursue it with them. Now, once you have this, let's say somebody says, sounds interesting to something that you have said, how do you use then, what's like the discovery phase for you? So how do you use that to that next step where you're really truly finding out if what you have is a good fit and if they're a right fit for you?
So the third step is discovery in the selling process. So I've created curiosity. Maybe they've given me a buying signal. I've issued an invitation for us to get into a deeper discussion about it. So once I'm in discovery phase, there's a couple things that you want to think about here. One is you want to set the stage for what's going to happen in this call. So this is not a pick my brain session. This is not free coaching. This is for us to find out, do you have a problem or a need? Do I have a solution that meets that problem or need? And then do I have permission to put an offer in front of you? That's the purpose. Now, we want to set the stage for that. And the way you set the stage is by pre-framing the start of that conversation of what's going to happen. Happy to give you an example of a pre-frame if you want.
I would love it.
Okay. So an example of a pre-frame would to say something like, I might say, Julie, thank you so much for taking this time to chat today. The purpose of our call is to find out a little bit more about your business and what it is that you're looking for. See if what I offer is the right fit. And then we can talk about ways to potentially work together. It'll give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you have. We're scheduled to chat for about, and then I'm going to say the amount of time. Usually with me, it's we're scheduled to chat for about 25 minutes. Does that still work in your schedule?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm waiting for you to confirm that you're committed to that amount of time. Because if you're thinking like, well, I actually need to leave in 15 minutes to go, you know, run an errand or have another appointment or whatever, I don't want you thinking about that while we're on the call. Like, should I tell her now or should I wait or should I just see how it goes? Like, I want to clear the field so that you can be present in the conversation. And again, set the stage. And then the next thing I'm going to say, now, in order to make this time meaningful and productive for you, is it okay if I start with a couple quick questions? So
yes.
By doing that, yeah, thank you. You're a great person to demo with. Okay. So by doing that, it sets the stage that now I'm going to lead the conversation versus just letting you show up and go, okay, so what do you want to know? And then the person's like, well, I want to tell you a story. When I was 5, this happened. And now, you know, 45 minutes later, this is why I need help with marketing, or this is why, you know, and it's like, well, that was a huge time suck. I didn't need all that information. So we want to lead the conversation, but we have to get permission to do it first. So by asking permission to ask questions, then it sets the stage for what's going to happen. And also, it really importantly, is it creates safety for the other person. So now they know, what's going to happen in this call? Is Nikki just going to try to sell to me the whole time? Is she going to let me ask questions? Like, I've kind of already cleared the field. Like, this is what's going to happen. So, you know, and I know we're on the same page. Now, the next thing that you do here is you ask really smart questions that plant seeds about your expertise and lead the person in their own way down the path to going, self-identifying, oh, I'm a great potential client for Julie because she's asking me questions that I really want to know the answers to. And of course, she's only asking me these questions because she knows how to find the answers or show me how to get the answers, right? So
right.
You have to ask really smart questions here instead of what I think a lot of people teach is now wow them with your expertise, you know, like give them some piece of coaching for free. And I don't buy into that at all. And I don't recommend it. And I'm happy to explain why, but the whole point here is to ask smart questions that allows that person to go, dang, I'm talking to an expert.
Got it. That actually makes, it makes a lot of sense because you're engaging them and they're answering, they're finding the solution to their problems in the questions that you're asking them. That makes sense.
or they're finding that there is a solution. They might not
right.
know what it is yet, but there's a possibility of a solution based on the questions that you're asking. And you're also starting to self-identify, is this a potential client that I want to work with?
Yes.
Right? Because sometimes you get on a call with somebody and you realize like, oh, this person's not a good fit for what I offer. Or as an entrepreneur, you get this, you know, ability to get on the phone with somebody or get on a call with somebody and go, I just don't want to work with this person. Like we just don't mesh. And that's okay. So what you're doing in that discovery piece of the conversation is identifying, is this an ideal client? Do I have a solution? Do they have a problem? And do I have a solution that meets it? And if for some reason you identify they're not a great fit, then there's no point in continuing the conversation. So I always say, this is your time to bless and release. Mm-hmm. And I use bless and release because I want the person to feel good about the conversation, feel good about us bringing it to a close, but I don't want to waste their time. And I certainly don't want to waste any of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good points. Very good points. That the discovery phase is just as important for you as a business owner. And we don't want to just grab at everything. I guess that's that mindset thing, right? We don't want to have that scarcity mindset where you're just I have to sign every person that you have a discovery call with. It's if they're not a good fit, if they're not financially in the position, or their energy isn't matching with yours, you certainly don't want to go through the effort of having them come on into your world and work with you, because then the results aren't going to be what can happen, and it's not going to make either of you feel good. So when we're doing this, we need to make sure that our services take care of what the client needs. And we hear a lot, give them what they want, not what they need. I mean, you're no, I said that wrong. I said that wrong. Appeal to what they want, but give them what they need, because sometimes they don't really even know what they need. And not, and you talk about not getting caught up in what they can afford, thinking that, oh, I have to price my services to match what they can afford. And yet you say, think about what it is that they need and create your services that way.
Yeah, so what I mean by that is, I know because I've had the great pleasure of literally working with thousands of salespeople, hundreds in my own business, hundreds, thousands in my previous sales career, of getting to support salespeople. And anybody that's in a sales situation, we tend to do two things that are really detrimental to the selling process as the seller. We project any kind of limiting belief we might have onto the person we're in conversation with, like, oh, I don't think Julie would pay this much for my services, or I don't think Julie would see the value in this other offer, so I'm afraid to put it in front of her. So we project our limiting beliefs. And then the second thing we do is we hallucinate. We act as if I can read your mind and I know what you're going to say if I put this other offer in front of you. So that's a huge, detriment to the selling process. You have to learn how to set that aside and remember that you truly are the expert. There's a reason they're having a conversation with you. So your job is to recommend the solution that is going to meet their needs and solve their problem. Now, if they say to you, that's outside of my budget, well, then we can take a step back or we can take a step down. We can make them an offer that is more in alignment. But realistically, if you're making decisions about what somebody's willing to spend and you don't know that for a fact, you're being, honestly, you're kind of making decisions on their behalf that it's called selling from someone else's wallet, and it's not your place and it's not your business. So I just to give you an example of this, I recently had a conversation with a woman who we were having a discovery call. I did ask her what she was looking to invest. She gave me a price range of what she wanted to invest in sales coaching. But realistically, based on what she had said she wants and the solution that she's looking for, she's an ideal candidate for a private coaching engagement with me, which is one of my VIP packages, which is more expensive than what she said to me. So what I said to her, once I understand she's got this need, this is what I would recommend, I will then move to the proposal piece of the conversation in the selling staircase. That's step four. And I laid out for her, this is my recommendation, and this is how it's going to meet what it is that you've said. I recognize that it's a little bit outside what you said you wanted to invest, but I just want you to know that that is my recommendation. And then I asked her, is that something you would like to move forward with? To which she said immediately, yes.
Wonderful.
So she's looking to me to be the expert and recommend the right solution. And in order for me to stand in integrity, I have to recommend the solution that's going to get her, like it's going to solve the problem. I could offer her something less expensive and it might help her get close to what she wants, but it's not going to really get her there in the time that she needs. And so these are those places where, again, a lot of times people won't actually tell you what they're willing to invest. So they want to play that card pretty close to the chest. So, and that's fine, but I'm going to recommend what I know is the right solution for you. Now, if she said to me, I have a $10,000 budget, I certainly am not going to recommend a $100,000 solution if it's out of integrity, if it's way more than what she needs or wants. I'm in no way implying that I charge $100,000 for coaching. I just want to make that clear. But the idea though is you've got to be the expert and you have to stand in your place of authority and expertise and credibility and make that recommendation.
Got it. Got it. That's a brilliant piece of advice, because we get in our own way sometimes and get in our own head. And I can see how that, I can see as you're explaining that, I can think, I might have just done that with somebody a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know that saying, Julie, like when we know better, we do better. That's all. It's just information. You can decide for the next one how to handle it.
I got it. I got it. I'm gonna have to listen to this. I'm gonna have to listen to my own podcast again. So now, how do you recognize you've had the conversation, you've done the discovery phase, you've made the offer of what it is that you know your client needs? How do you, I mean, obviously, in the scenario you just gave us, it was an obvious, yes, she accepted, but how do you recognize and respond to buying signals if they aren't that blunt, right? If they aren't just like, oh, okay, send me the contract, right? How do you know that a person is considering it? What kind of signals are they giving you?
So with buying signals, you have to be willing to check them out. Even if you're like, I'm not sure, could be a buying signal, maybe it's not. You have to be willing to just issue some type of invitation. So I teach it as it is truly an invitation. So think about most people like to be invited to things. I don't know, Julie, if you're this way, but I actually don't want to go to a lot of things, but I also don't like to be left out. I'd rather make the decision for myself to exclude me from an event than someone else to exclude me, not give me the invitation. And then I'm feeling like, oh, nobody likes me, right? So the idea here is to issue the invitation when you think you've gotten a buying signal. So there are 17 buying signals. Like I mentioned, I wrote a book about this. It's important to know how to recognize them. And when you get one, or when you think you get one, you check it out and see. So if somebody says something that's a little bit subtle to me, of like, that's so interesting, I never really think about what kind of people would need help with sales. That feels a little vague, right? Maybe. So in that case, I would say, well, is there ever a time where you don't feel confident in your conversations with prospective clients? And maybe if you said yes, then I would say, well, would you be open to talking about ways to kind of boost your confidence? So that's me issuing that invitation. And all it is an invitation. You could say, like, no thanks, lady, go kick rocks. That's fine. But if I don't ask, you walk away going like, oh, I guess Nikki doesn't think I'm the kind of person who could benefit from her services, right? Like you'll make some crazy judgment about why I didn't invite you or why I didn't like encourage you to take another step. So it's not about trying to convince you, it's just about asking. I treat you as if you're an adult because you are. I respect you as a person, as a human. So I'm just going to issue the invitation and let you tell me yes or no. And I can tell you that I've had people issue, actually, I love this story because I one time met a woman for like coffee. We were getting to know each other because we were actually working with the same business coach. That was the whole premise behind us getting together to have this conversation. And about 10 minutes into the conversation, she gave me what I thought could be a buying signal, but I was kind of surprised because I'm like, well, I know she's working with a business coach. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why would she ever want to work with a sales coach when she already has another kind of coach? But because I do walk my talk, like I don't ask people to do things I don't do, I issued an invitation to her. I said, you know, is selling skill something you're looking to get better at? And she didn't really say yes. She didn't really say no. She kind of just kept the conversation going. So I just went along with her. She didn't really answer my question. About 10 minutes later, she gives me another buying signal. And I'm like, what is going on? But I issue another invitation. Again, she doesn't really say yes or no. She gives me a very vague answer. We continue the conversation. Over the course of an hour and a half, she gave me seven buying signals. How many times do you think I invited her to work with me?
Well, if she gave you seven buying signals, maybe seven times.
Yeah, seven times. And even at the last one, she didn't really say yes or no. So I had to go. Our time was up. I had another meeting. And so as I was leaving, I said, I get a sense that you are somebody who would benefit from some private coaching around sales. So here's what I'm going to do. When I get back to my office, I'm just going to send you a quote for the VIP package. And if that's something you'd like to do, I would be so honored to work with you. And if it's not, then please know I'm just going to be so happy to see you at the next event where we all go together. So I get back to my office. I send her an invoice for the VIP package. And 2 days later, she paid it.
Wow.
You have to be willing to check it out because sometimes the person that you're in conversation with, they don't even know yet that they're
Yeah.
ready. And they'll only know by you issuing the invitation and allowing their brain going, do I want to work with this person or not? That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Very cool. Yeah, because I would guess that the average, I know with myself, and I would guess with the average entrepreneur out there, we might push through, we might make the offer a second or a third time. But if we after that, I know with me, if I kept seeing what I would learn was a buying signal, I probably would stop. I probably would stop. So it's interesting that you just keep, if they keep dropping that nugget or that breadcrumb, you reach out and grab it.
Yeah,
Sort of
or at
like that.
least check to see, like, should I pick this up or not? And again, if now here's the truth in the matter. I love to have a story to tell. So even by the time I was on the fifth one, I was like, let's see what happens. 'Cause there's no, at some point, she's gonna be like, stop asking. Like in my mind, that's what I think she's gonna do. But she never does it. She just kind of continues on with the conversation. Now, needless to say, she wasn't the easiest client to coach because she wasn't very decisive.
Right.
So, given that, but the fact of the matter is, I had to keep issuing that invitation because there was some part of her that was indicating that she did actually want some support around selling.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it this is like we could just keep talking and talking and talking about this process and hearing more and more of your tips and your wisdom. But there is, we will keep this a nice, the right length for a podcast. But there are ways, lots of ways that people can stay connected with you. You are on their social media platforms. So you're on Facebook as Your Sales Maven. You're on Instagram as sales underscore your underscore sales underscore Maven. And then Nicole, and pronounce your last name for me again so I do it
It's
right.
Roush,
Roush. It
Roush,
is
yeah.
Roush. Okay. Nicole Roush. And all of these links, of course, will be in the, for those of you who are listening in your mobile office or your mobile learning center, they're all listed on the show page. So you'll be able to go back and grab all of those from her. But you also have, you mentioned a couple of books. You also have you have a membership, if I'm not, a Sales Maven Society membership. Tell the listeners about that.
That's my group coaching program. So I have a training center that the members get access to that has a myriad of trainings. The one about creating curiosity is in there. There's quite a few others. And then I do two live coaching calls a month for that group. So the group members can get on and ask questions and get specific tailored, coaching to their situation or their business. And then there's a private group as well where they can tag me with questions. I get tagged in there daily for questions about their sales situations. And also, they ask me to give them suggestions on how to create better sales languages. Their email that they send, a lot of times I'll go in there and tweak their emails for them and offer them suggestions. So
Cool.
that's the group coaching program. And it's a pretty robust program and it's filled with unbelievable women, honestly. I want to pinch myself every day that I get to work with such incredible women from around the world that are doing all kinds of things, but selling is something that they want to continue to hone and get better at.
I love it. I love it. And they have a special, you have a special link for, set up for us With the women or women excelling everywhere group. So if you want that, go to yoursalesmaven.com/we, W-E-E, and you can find out more information about the things that Nikki has been talking about. And I strongly encourage everybody to just connect. I'll be connecting with you afterwards and making sure that we stay connected on all the social media sites, because I love to hear your tidbits of wisdom. So, Nikki, thank you so very much for being a guest on the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast this afternoon. It has been definitely educational for me, for sure. And I personally will be checking out your group coaching program. That sounds very intriguing. So thank you for being a guest on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Julie. I appreciate my time with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. It was a beautiful, wonderful conversation, a conversation that all women entrepreneurs need to think about. And this might be one of those podcasts that you go back and you listen to once a year just to refresh your mind, or you join the group, which will help you to just keep fresh in your mind what you when you get in those stuck moments in the sales process, because it is a process that every entrepreneur needs to be in, and in many ways that plays into relationships as well. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I want to remind everybody that if this was a great, maybe you have a membership group or you have a women's group that you are working with. If you felt that this was a benefit, there were some tidbits, some gems in here that you think other people could benefit from, then please give us a thumbs up, give us a positive comment, because that all helps that SEO stuff, and go ahead and give us a share. Give us a like and a share, and let the wisdom go out to other people that you are connected with. We would love that. If you have ideas or thoughts about the show, that topics you would like to see covered, anything to help you excel. That's why we switched our brand to Women Excelling Everywhere, is because we want to help you excel no matter where you are at. So stay connected with us at womenexcellingeverywhere.com and the podcast. Be sure to send us an email at info@womenexcellingeverywhere.com if you feel you have a question, or you'd like to be a guest, or you have a topic you'd like to see covered on that. We will make sure that we get it done for you. And until next time, and I want everybody to take a nice deep breath, put on a big smile, because it changes the brain chemistry, and go out there and simply enjoy every moment. See you next time.